The people think it's an old thing, but there's always new. It's a new concept and a new level to push the envelope.
This is the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. A podcast dedicated to raw action analysis.
Ooh, my gosh. For fans of action cinema out there, how badass would that be?
Each week, we bring you a new action filmmaker to break down your favorite scenes.
360 off person, round kick the guy from a 360 spin.
Now, introducing your hosts, Darren Tun and Mike Messina.
Hello and welcome to the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Tun, and with me is my co-host, Mike Messina. We want to welcome you back to Shang-Chi Week. Last week, we released episodes with Joseph Lei and V. Dan, as well as part one with Andy Chang, and that was last Friday. So go check out those episodes if you haven't already. Today, we are introducing again Andy Chang, part two this time. He is known as the fight coordinator for Shang-Chi and The Legend of Ten Rings. He is also a veteran of the Jackie Chan stunt team working on films such as Who Am I, Mr. Nice Guy, and Rush Hour 1 and 2. Other works of his include Into the Badlands, The Rundown, Scorpion King, and Six Underground. This being the part two of Andy Chang's episode, it is actually a breakdown episode, so he breaks down a lot of the scenes from Into the Badlands, Shang-Chi, The Rundown, Rush Hour, and so many more. So I definitely want to give a fair spoiler warning there. Some big takeaways from this episode, particular for me, was when Andy was talking about the difference between Hong Kong filmmaking and Hollywood filmmaking. And he leans a little bit more towards the Hong Kong side in some regards, just because of how the Hong Kong style of filmmaking felt more real to him. Obviously, stunt actors have to wear stunt pads now for safety and whatnot, but in Hong Kong, they did those things for real. And he tells us a story about how you can tell the difference between a stunt actor when they hit the ground and it's concrete and their reaction to that versus when a stunt actor hits the ground and it's all padded and them pretending to do that. So he has his opinions about that, and you'll find that later in the episode. But without further ado, here is Andy Chang, part two.
So in Who Am I, you have that famous rooftop fight sequence. There's you, there's Ron, there's Brad Allen, who was involved in that. Mm-hmm. And there's this behind-the-scenes video of a dummy leg being swung at Jackie's head because, you know, one guy couldn't kick that fast mm-hmm. with all the different angles you needed. Yeah. If you didn't know what was going on set that day before you got in, where did the dummy leg come from? Did you always have a dummy leg?
Yeah, how do you make this stuff?
Yeah. No, the dummy leg was made in 10 minutes. That's it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. that's exactly a good question. You think, I tell you, there's no prepping. When we need the dummy leg, we take the pan and we find a cardboard, roll it like a hole, and then put into the pan, stuck the socks, put the shoes, hit, and that's why the suits fly off, right? Remember when the suits fly off? Because those pops make it. Like in 10 minutes, we have that suit and everything ready. Everything come fine. It's not like peppering. Oh, okay, I need a dummy leg. Okay, give me 2 days, we'll make it for you. No, we'll give you 5 minutes. We'll find something and make that.
Yeah.
That's exactly a good question. That's the Hong Kong style.
Yeah. For that construction scene, you had a lot of the hardware already on set, right? Then,
yeah,
because you had the wheelbarrow, there's the razor,
but those are
there's the cement mixer.
That's the
wheelbarrow. Yeah, that's already there.
Just on the construction, yeah. They sit there, they bring all the things belong here, and then we start thinking. And in the way, if you have money and time, and the prop master or somebody will go, oh, I'm gonna make this thing fake and rubber, we put some safety on this. Everything you see there, it's just that. It's not prepping and try to make it work. We do it right there. So much save money. You know, in the way when you have prep time, let's build the fake one. Let's build this, build that, build, and spend a lot of money. And then, I changed the idea. We don't even use it. So it depends. So it's very hard to say what is good or bad, you know. In one way, I say Hong Kong style is a very director system. So the director have idea. Everyone just follow with it and trust the director and he will give you something. So that's a very, very director system. In Hollywood, it's in more studio or studio producer system. So director more like a tool for them to help them to make that. But then the end, they were making more decision than the director. And also the marketing, you know, very powerful marketing. They would tell you, you should do the kiss scene, you should do the love scene, you should do this scene, you should not do too much fight scene. Mm-hmm. The marketing would tell the whole process. In Hong Kong, they don't have that. I mean, they have it, but there's after that. But the director on set, what he want, what he do, and he's the one. Make. So that's what I, when I still in Hong Kong, that when I learn and see this different thing. 2 years ago, I worked for Michael Bay and Six Underground. And I see the director system. First time I said, wow, American have director system. Michael Bay, he's a producer, he's a director, and he design everything. On set, he's doing Hong Kong style, exactly Hong Kong style. People don't know, don't need to know what he want. He just do what he want, and you just helping. That's it. You don't need to question, and you don't need to prep. When he, I want two beautiful lady, then they bring two supermodel. I want to turn over this car, and they make the car turn over. I want to crash the Lamborghini. They find the Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. They don't prepping. I just really.
Wow.
Powerful system on his set. And wow, I say, first time I see in Hollywood, I say, whoa, that's why Michael Bay is good, because he has his eye, it's really amazing. And I see it. I remember he had one shot, it's a fire, and going to the bow, the environmental and the whole team go attack the bow. And that moment is almost sunset the day, and suddenly have a really good sunset, fair, go through the bow.
Oh, yeah.
And he just call.
Golden hour.
Everyone come out. So he just called Ryan Reynolds and number one, number two, number three, number four, whatever. Everyone come out. And he just created a shot like, okay, everyone just the actor, they all come in, didn't know what happened. Just go, 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 go. And then he's get the camera. And
that was the magnetic boat scene, yes. Right?
Yeah. That one of the shot, really, really super cinematic. Zero lighting, zero prepping. It's just he see the shot and bring all the people, just call everyone wow. Running. What? Put them in the water. They just and then come up the shot. Really, really.
Wow. Yeah, and I know that movie also had that parkour sequence mm-hmm. with the, I think the store guys. The
store guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was that like, kind of choreographing that sequence?
Yeah,
well. I think you got Drew and Benjamin on there.
Yeah, Drew,
right?
Benjamin, Colin, I mean, a few, Ben. They're a good team, you know, very, very good team. Garvey, you know, they have their skill. They know what they do. But then I try to, you know, we talk to them, you know, what you do, and then try to give them a props and we line up the distance to fit them, and we create it. And then also we do the jumping in the pole with safety on them. Even they say we don't need it, but you know, we do a movie, you know, we don't have to be. So it's good. They're real good talent, really, really talented kid, you know.
The scene with like a first person GoPro on the head, something like that.
They have to. And they also do the, they put them on the acting, you know.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, the bad guy, you know, they're chasing the whole thing. They're chasing Ben, the number four. And they're chasing, those is the...
Yeah, number four, yeah.
Yeah, they're chasing number four. And then Ben, double Ben, and very cool. No, Drew, double Ben, and Ben, double Ben. So there are two of him and do that column to the column to the column. And then big explosion behind them. Yeah, cool scene, very good, you know. And then I did the fight scene on top of the net, you know, he pulls him off the net and then hand upside down when number seven saved him. So that was a very good experience for me as a different system. But that's my first time I see very cool Hong Kong style, Hong Kong system in Michael Bay set. I said, wow.
That was in Hong Kong, right?
That scene
that
in
whole
Hong Kong,
parkour sequence, wasn't
the place
it?
Is in Italy, we shot in Italy.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So movie magic right there.
He built a building. He built a building. Unbelievable. This director is unbelievable.
Wow. Really?
The building. The whole building.
The budget is insane.
The waterfall, the pool, and then exposing the pool, and then the thing of the building. Those, the whole, the, not the whole building, but we built the three, four building, and then the pool. Everything is just built. And then
wow. 3-4 floors. Wow.
Yeah, and then shoot.
That took some prep.
And shoot 1 week, take it down.
Yeah, that's not Hong Kong style, right?
That's the Hong Kong press, the Hollywood style. we build the whole field,
yeah.
the building. We build the building and destroy later. And then we build half the bowl and destroy later. The both set, these two set, too much money. Crazy. Build the two set only for one wish.
Yeah.
But come on, really amazing, you know, so.
Yeah.
That cannot be a Hong Kong style.
Yeah, that's too extreme for a Hong Kong style. Too big of a budget right there to do all that stuff. Yeah, the building scene, though, I recognize now that you do a lot of building scenes. And there was one in Rush Hour 2 as well, right? Where Jackie and Chris are on the scaffolding over there.
Yeah, that is the... Yeah, there's only certain part that they say, oh, the Chinese bamboo is very, very hot or something.
Very strong, yeah.
Very strong, that's right. Yeah, that only that part. But then the rest is the wheel we show in Hong Kong. The whole free fall and crash dropping to the bottom... The hanging, that all real on the Hong Kong, the building, like maybe that is like 12 floor, maybe. I don't know. It's an old building, but those building, the ceiling is much higher. And then, yeah, we do the whole thing in Hong Kong. Then they do pick up, those just pick up for the tunnel because we cannot put Chris Tucker out there.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. No, he just playing, man. He playing, he mean that. He meant cut me loose and let me go.
Don't move! LAPD!
I was showing Mike the behind the scenes for a lot of that movie. And you're in the behind the scenes part for, I think, Rush Hour 1, I believe.
One or two.
There's a scene with you and Jackie.
The gunfight.
Restaurant. Choreographing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what it was like to, I guess, explore Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan's relationship in that movie. Like, they have the handshake at the end of the fight and a whole bunch of stuff too. Yeah, that you guys put in there.
Jackie. Not us. You know, it's always
okay.
I just lecture to him. He said, "Okay, do this," and then we'll put a hand, and okay, we'll do the high five and da da da. So that come from. We always, you know, like lecture to him. You know, whatever he needs. Like I say, sometimes, let's do this, do that. So helping Corey, but mostly, you know, idea is from him. He's really, really smart.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. When he there, possible, you know, we just save our energy. He would come up with something we should not even try. That's why it's easier.
Yeah.
After so much time working with him at that point, could you sort of anticipate some of the things he was going to come up with? Or is it still totally creative out of nowhere every time?
Depend, like come from nowhere, but it's not really come from nowhere. A lot of, location. We got location, we see the location and idea based on the location. So there's a lot from there. And then the element, you know, from there. But then a lot of come from nowhere, from his head. That's true. You know, sometimes you just need to adapt it, you know. And then, you know, we will sometimes, you know, like everyone will have some idea, you know. Sometimes you will throw some idea to him. He may accept or not. But a lot, you know, like I said, when he there, mostly we'll just sit back, you know. He's the one.
He is the one.
You know, because he have the thing is fit himself. Like you thinking yourself, you know exactly what you can do, you know. So he's the one to do it, you know. We just support them, you know, we're like a supporting part. So he's the mainly, so we'll based on what he's trying and then we'll fit into it and make it fit. The kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love that Rush Hour 2 salon sequence. The spa scene, I think you guys are all in robes together.
And
you're using like pan and like plants and then the chair flipped and stuff like that. Probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, cool.
And so then after working with Jackie for all those years, all those projects, you're eventually going off doing your own sort of solo career things after leaving the stunt team.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any particular lessons that you kept in mind from your time with the Jackie Chan stunt team when you were going on to do your own work?
Everything, you know. I mean, I think that's the thing, you know. Everything comes from him, you know. High standard. I think they learn a lot of high standard thing. So the people think it's an old thing, but there's always new. as a new concept and a new level to push the envelope. So you can see him, he will always create something similar, but then different, you know. It's like he paid a jacket, he paid many ways, he paid different juggling, he paid different kind of dodging, he was jumping differently. So it's something you've seen before, then try to avoid it, you know, try to avoid it. So even if it's different, but then you have to be, try to not repeat yourself and something. And then one of the things, you know, I think I learned from him. And on set, you know, like be creatively, don't trap into the box, you know, like I said, the organic thing, you know, sometimes the organic is really help me. Even I'm, you know, I'm prepping stuff already. I have previous and already have an idea, the scene and editing, everything already done. But then when I on set, when I direct, I shoot, I still were changing sometimes. Because I think it's something had to fit into it. You're prepping in the gym. You're prepping based on the script or based on something, but you're not on set. When you're on set, it's different situation, different scenario. So when that scenario can come up something even better, then why not? But then, oh, because we have this. No, sometimes you got to be. And sometimes also lighting. Oh, so when you plan it doing, you know, like he's on the right side, the bad guy is on the left side, but then, oh, find out the sun is the top, totally opposite. They need to swap that. Then your action, you had to swap that. Now you're kicking left hand and right hand. So you always have some kind of acceptable changement, you know, to fit into stuff. So I think, organic is much more, make myself more interesting, because I think everyone will be more interested, even the people involved. Besides, so the audience, because the audience don't know, so you can prepping and show them that's all brand new. But for the worker, sometimes I feel give them more energy when they see it. Wow, that's cool, you know, because they never see the product. But when you're prepping so much and they see already, so when you finish, possible not that much excitement. But then, of course, they think, oh, then we cannot help you. We don't know how to prep and we don't know how to helping you and prepare your stuff. But sometimes, even you try to prepare, it doesn't work that way. So, you know, go with the fry is sometimes kind of cool, I think.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask a little bit about an Into the Badlands scene. Darren, was there something else you wanted to jump into first?
I think I was going to ask about The Rock, though, beforehand. I know you did a couple of things with The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Scorpion King, The Rundown. Yeah, yeah. In that one movie with The Rock, The Rundown, you have like a lot of size disparity and you play around with him as bigger and then all these small little guys, like under 5 feet guys. I'm wondering if you took like a different approach with The Rock because he's such a big guy, right? So was there a different approach that you had to take there with different sizes?
No, I mean, that's the original based on the, I want to create a scene for him, you know, because I work for him after Scorpion King. I know he's a big guy. And I think when he go into the jungle, I want to create a scene like, first thing I want to create those crazy stunt, you know, when they put the tree, the wine into the lake so they can do the bungee jump, so they can pick him up and fight him.
Yeah, yeah.
But first thing, because the movie is a modern day, the power people cannot find. So I want to have that kind of thing. So I remember when I see the Africa people, they does that with the wine and jumping and go all the way to the bottom and pick up something and go. I said, wow, that's kind of cool. So I think that is the guy to make this, the tree thing. And then also I'm thinking, if I have a bunch of guys come to fight, it's just another fight scene. I want to create something that was then when I remember I pitched the director, I say, oh, I think this fight scene, I want to have all the midget, you know, like little guy or little people, you know. And so all little people fight a big guy. I want that contrast, but then the middle guy, they're too small, how he beat him. So, and the people would jump. We have even more, like much more Corey, and we're changing it, but some had to drop some stunt. One is a stunt. The four guy on him, jump on him. One got one hand, one hand, and it's all tied on him, like all little monkey on him. Fighting, so there's a whole concept, and then all these people so small, they like a monkey, they kick him, they're gone. They're all flying around this so fast because it's so small, they're running so fast. So, and then all come up with all the interesting move, kind of like capoeira, and then because the Basil, so kind of like a dancing move, but they also upside down and you fold the guy. So, that sequence from very beginning already planned to have a small guy, and then end up the end have Ernie and come this, you know, one on one, and you see the contract. Wow, Ernie, same, you know, you see all the muscle, like, wow, this is a string, there's a big size,
yeah.
And then the small one is the same muscle but tiny, and then they fight. So that's a whole
tiny guy. Yeah, yeah.
There's a whole concept about it.
He was the leader, right?
Yeah, he's the leader. Ernie? Yeah,
was that
in the final? He's a leader. That's one of my favorite movie I did. I kind of powered it. I think that's kind of very, very unique sequence. I kind of like that sequence very well.
That movie has that scene with them rolling down the hill, right? Very, that, very similar sequence.
That is one of the top tumble down to the hill. We call it tumble tumble, and then I have two stunt guy to double each one. And tumble 4 days in a row. We shoot 4 days just going down to the hill. Everything you can see, we
really
It
looks very painful.
Yeah, it's really painful. But it looked like a very danger, but kind of danger. But I think it's good planning, you know,
and not that bad.
Not that bad. Nobody hurt. The whole thing looked like it's to kill somebody, but nobody hurt.
Mm-hmm.
No, even one person hurt from the tumble tumble.
Yeah, looks very extreme though. So it's a testament to your work.
Yeah. That's the first movie I was directing, second unit, directing action and coordinating fight choreographer. So I in charge of the whole thing. So, and for me, I feel, wow, this is my biggest movie, the biggest stage for me. So I want to make sure everything delivered, you know, the highest standard. So I think we did really well. We have 4 nominations and we win 2 for the TOSA Award, you know, the Stunt Award. It's so sad the movie doesn't really, people will not realize, because the name they're changing. Original called Welcome to the Jungle or something, they're changing. And
oh, really?
The last minute turned to The Rundown, yeah.
The Rundown.
One point is the movie called El Dorado, but then...
Wow.
And then it's called Welcome to the Jungle, and then end up... I think outside America, they call it Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh, really?
The name, so kind of like, kind of weird, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's good action. I kind of like that. You know, I think it's one of the top of my job. I think I kind of satisfy that. You know, I mean, Into the Badlands, some really cool stuff I like.
Hard to find good help these days, isn't it? Who are you? Baji told you I was close, didn't he?
Raven.
I'm sorry about your regent, but I needed him out of the way, and he made it so easy. You're so lost, you couldn't even trust the one person who loved you the most. You planted those notes. If you are the scorpion, then I am the sting. And who does the scorpion sting when she runs out of victims? Herself.
So you mentioned Into the Badlands before, just a few moments ago. There's a fight scene between Widow and then herself.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering, what's the difference in your approach when it's fighting in an open space like that versus something with the Jackie Chan style where you're using the environment a lot? She's in an open space, not a lot of things around her. Is that a lot different for you to plan it?
Not really. I mean, like even Into the Badlands, I will pay a different thing. But Into the Badlands, one thing is different than Jackie, because the previous, you know, they all have weapon, they have their own sword or something. So we don't need to find something to fight. You know, instead you don't have weapon, then you find something.
Yeah.
In the Riddle Ways against Riddle, I remember when I come up with that idea about the one shot. You know, it looked like a one shot. You know, she's from the top, jump down.
The staircase around her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then spinning and then see her fight herself and again. So that's the only one I haven't been doing. I mean, like everyone out there, you know, they always say, oh, we do the one shot. Even, you know, you do the stitch, you know, whatever, you get one shot. But I always say, so what is the one shot idea? You know, the one shot idea is because you can do one shot, like do it longer, then okay, you do 10 seconds, I do 15 seconds. So, but there's no story there. It's just you can, right? Because you can do one shot, then you think something very interesting. I follow the guy walking like from the bottom, like one of the scene. I follow the good guy and fighting off, and then another guy falling, and then another coming in. So, but you one by one come in, and then you want one shot. Because you think that, but then you can do the whole movie. I walk it here, one person, and then says, don't cut. Just
whole movie, one shot.
Yeah. Just like 1917, right? But what,
don't need to reset.
Yeah, but what's the story between that? I always try to find a meaning to do one shot. I heard that everyone want to be a one long shot or something. So I never have wanted approaching that because I don't see that. So when Widow come, and that's the only thing, he fight herself. And we only have one Emily, you know, she is herself played both character in a different role. Mm-hmm. So at that moment, I think, oh, this is the moment I should do the one shot, because in this side, I see her and then pan to the other side and then I see her again and then I see her again, I see her again, but through different role. So, you know, that's a fake one shot. But then the planning had to be really good because I shoot this part and then I had to change her to the other side to see her, then I need to change her again. So how you, that, yeah. when I want to show that shot, I think, wow, of course I had a stunt double to do the best side, but then I want to see in the fun side. So that one shot for me is the meaning about, wow, how they planned, you know, do the shot from the top, jump down, and then, of course, the jump down is both the stunt double, but then how you become her and her and her. So those for me, I say, finally I got the opportunity to do the one shot. So that come up for that sequence. And then if you go back to see that fight scene is different. I have all the different kind of ones facing to see other faces. We do a different kind of transaction from the saw, from me for the saw to you. And then I follow the saw and I go to her, she catching her own saw, and then they fight. I have many different ways to reveal, and then end up the end, both together, same shot coming. So of course it's the all camera trick, but then I do every single possibility to see at the same time they are.
Two together.
But thinking this, it's a TV. It's not like a lot of time and money. It's a TV show. You gotta be fast. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the only that sequence for me is, and then also the camera work, you know, if you know there's the read and catching the camera.
Yeah.
Is firing the camera, come down, catching and
from the wire.
From the wire and right. Spinning the camera with 360 and changing. It's very complicated at the moment you do this shot with the camera and the actress have to swap the rojo. So that sequence is very, for me, is very interesting. I kind of like, I think that do something what I think is have purpose. So I kind of like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know you said Vidan, he also did editing on that set, right? He was doing editing on the laptop at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that work? You export the footage from the camera and put it into the laptop right away?
Yeah. Sometimes it's from the real footage, but sometimes we're just using the video assist. It's just a low wet, but that it's just like a TAM editing. So on set editing, and then sometimes we like that shot, we have to stitch together. So we make sure we find the stitch point and mix it, and then we do a really quick TAM editing to look like a work. And so that kind of idea, but we're shooting at the same time. And you know, he's been doing what with me like 5 years already now. And then since Into Badland, we do Six Underground, Shang-Chi, and then now this movie, Sing Sayer. So he's been working. And he's a good brother, really good, you know, Jackie Chan stunting brother. Very talented, very, very smart boy. Have everything. He can perform too, including MK. So he's stunt.
Oh, yeah.
He's stunt before MK. He helping editing on set. Sometimes he's helping Corey. Sometimes he do help CG, you know, multiplayer. Sometimes he's operating. So right now here on my this show, he's operating, you know, editing. Action design, everything. Also, talent, very talented. And
wow, he's everything, man.
He's everything. Yeah. Haircut, my hair, he cut. I mean, now I need long, but he cut every.
Oh, wow. Maybe he'll start sweeping around the house too.
He hit everyone. Yeah, he's a really good brother, you know. Very, very happy to have him, you know. We work together really well, you know.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. You've seen a lot of his like fan films too. It's incredible work, YouTube fan films. Cyberpunk, I know he did, and the lightsaber Star Wars stuff. Yeah,
I saw him. I follow him a little bit. Yeah, you know, he's a real talent. You know, eventually, you know, he's a real filmmaker. You know,
yeah,
we have a good taste and a good standard,
good chemistry.
Chemistry. We like I said, I can see. You know, Joseph, you know, they both have really good talent, you know, and eventually they will be a director or something. You know, they will go, you know, why now? Yeah, we work together, but eventually they will.
Yeah, one day.
They will do their own thing. Very soon, you know, I can see that, you know. Sometimes when you have too much, you know,
yeah.
You can't hold on yourself and you just jump and find, you know. But that's the nature, you know. Mm.
Now, speaking of Joseph and Vidan, I think we're going to move into Shang-Chi, if that's all right.
Oh, good. Go everywhere you want.
Okay.
So speaking of, you know, working relationships and experience with some of the people here, can you just talk about what the workflow was, what the process was within the action team for Shang-Chi?
The workflow, I mean, first, you know, based on the script, you know, character, and then talk with Brad Allen, you know, the action director, what he see. That's the whole process. And then he will, you know, say, okay. And then I remember very beginning, we talk about how we make Shang-Chi, and based on the script, we know we want him to be very special. And then I suggest and I say one other thing, we want him to be the best kicker. Because when I see that moment, I know this, first of all, they're based on the Bruce Lee idea, the idol. And then also all the superheroes, none of one is based on the kicking, you know, like the skill, you know. So I think kicking will be very outstanding, you know, because, you know, everyone have a superpower thing, but then nobody really using physically. And then because Shang-Chi is, you know, a master kung fu. So I think kicking will be already make a difference. And also, you know, my background is kicking, so I always, you know, eyes on kicking and, well, of course, like tricking, all kind of stuff. But we talk about high standard kicking, so want to be really, really very precise and very pretty and good kick. You know, sometimes I feel tricking is good, but tricking's a lot of people tricking, but the kick is look ugly, you know, or 540 or 720 or 900, but look very bad, you know. And then, but they call this and, oh, this is my 900, but the kick look shitty for me. So I like much more higher standard kicking. So then when we thought, maybe kicking is his background. And then I remember my first scene to Corey is the bus scene. And then the bus scene, because there's the first opening sequence for him, and he had to hiding his skill for Katie. Then Shang-Chi cannot really do what he can do. So we try to hiding. Then when you're hiding and you try to running around with the bad guy fighting, then very easily you feel in like, and he's using all the element and jumping from this chair to the other chair. And you tell me in the world, somebody from the chair jump to another chair, you think, you know, my first thing got to be Jackie Chan. Who you can think about it? Right?
Yeah. Yeah, nobody else. Yeah.
Right? Who will be, you know, jumping around from a chair to a chair, jump out of the bus.
And who else is doing that?
Who could be that one? It's only one person. So that's why, and a lot of people, oh, now you copy Jackie or whatever. Just, no, this is a legend. You know, just like somebody do this, who would do this? You know, only one legend with the lam chop, right? It's not copy. Mm-hmm. It was only one person using lam chop. Everyone remember the Bruce Lee. When you pull the lam chop, you copy Bruce Lee. No, because he's just so good. You're automatic. You think that it's not real. What tried?
He never claimed it.
Why? Thank you. Yeah, no, and then I remember me and Brett were talking about make sure we not make another people. Oh, Shang-Chi is a Jackie Chan. We don't want it. We never want that. We want to be Shang-Chi. It's Shang-Chi.
And it's different.
We want a Shang-Chi style. We want to finish the movie. People, oh, let's do Shang-Chi style. Mm-hmm. So what's the Shang-Chi style? Mm-hmm. So and then we think, okay, Shang-Chi style is like Bruce Lee style. It's a style, but no style. It's a form, it's no form. It's a be water, you know, whatever. You know, that's a Bruce Lee philosophy. At the same time, what's the Shang-Chi style? Shang-Chi style is like the style, but no style. So it's really a fit into everything based on when they make the comment for Bruce Lee. So then very automatically we think, okay, that's where we go. We want to make sure he's a good kicker. So that's why in the bus, you know, he do a really cool speed kick, and, you know, whatever, and everyone like it. But then beside the speed kick, he have other stuff he can do stunt like Jackie Chan, jump out of the bus, do his own stunt, slide and run over the top, swing in back to the bus.
Like parkour.
Yeah, he also does kung fu, you know, and then he learned tai chi, hong quan. So his father's style, you know, southern style, mm-hmm. and his mother's style, tai chi, soft style. And then he had weapon, pay with the end, pay with a staff. So he had everything. He's like Chinese kung fu, anything. So that's the Shang Chi style, have everything. So he's not just one weapon, not just one hammer, not just a shield. He have everything. He has a wing. He have, you know. So that's the Shang Chi style. Mm-hmm. He have everything. Everything you thinking he have. So that's how the world flow from very beginning. So and then we decide that, and and then Brett agree with that. And then my first thing is doing the bus. I remember.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy Clev coming at you live on the bus. I actually did take a little bit of martial arts as a youth, so I'm gonna try and grade this fight as we're going.
Based on the script, you know, they try to come and take his pendant, he's trying to hide, don't want to show his girlfriend he can fight, blah, blah, blah. So and then we have many, many versions. The structure from the beginning to the end, how he come back in, go out, pretty much is similar what from very beginning when I create. And then even outside the stunt is from the very beginning, I have this idea how to cut the bus, how he jump out and the window and then slide in the fall. All same, nothing changing. But inside, many, many versions. I say 20 versions, and then Joseph says 40 versions. Yeah. Whatever version, there's so many versions. We're changing one punch.
Yeah, yeah. 70 versions.
We have the form. Yeah. You know, he's how he do this, he do this, you know, he do this, you know, whoa, many, many different, he do this, you know, so many. So it's very hard to count, you know, so many. And then we have longer, much longer version, shorter version. Fight with different props, you know. Now you see the computer, but then we have more, but they cut it out. We shot in the umbrella, we see the skateboard, we have everything. We cut it out. But the process is long, you know, and then we're doing that, Corey, and then go to Brad and take a look, and then he has his comment, so to the director has a comment. So and then we back and forth to say this, you know, he should fight or he should not fight. Two people come to him, he don't fight, he's dodging until the end. And then we see, because like original, the bad guy not hitting KT till very later. But then now changing very beginning, he hit him. Mm-hmm. He go boom, punch him. But original in the script is he dodged like a minute. He's running around, go to the back side and blah, blah, blah. And they say, hey, I don't want to fight you. Wrong guy, blah, blah, blah. And then she come out, hey, why you guy? And then they slap her. Then he do the punch or kick or whatever. But that's a little way later. But then end up with back and forth. And then end up become very early. Why other, hey, you think he can fight? And then, wow, fight right away. So this is the whole process of changing.
So quick,
from the original to when we're shooting. But that process is it's good, you know. We find, I think the director, you know, Dustin, find the white tone, how to intro the hero. And I think the people really enjoy it, right? I mean, people like really like the bus scene, big cast done, and also the fight with the razor feet, you know, cutting the thing. Whole sequence, like I said, take the whole year to finish it. From Corey to finish the last day, I think he jumped off the bus and everything, more than a year. Come on, wow. Really, really cool.
That's crazy.
You know, people like it. So that's good.
Yeah. We definitely enjoyed that whole section.
With Shang-Chi, were you heavily involved with every action scene or were there some that you were more involved in than others?
We have a big stunt team. You know, we have many, not many. I mean, we have few. Action design. I do more like the modern day part. I did the bus and did the cage fight, you know, the brother sister fight, and also in more the village, and then also the training, Tai Chi. You know, we have Pang and Chris in the opening, the father and mother fight, and then the ending, father and son. And then we have G did the death dealer and Yong. So, and Joseph and we then help me do the open the bus different. So, we have many, many group, you know, different, everyone have something, you know, and combine, and then, but the
the mainly is Brad Allen, you know, overlook everything and then he keep everything calm and then we kind of like we all work for him, you know. He's like the brain to make everything brand new.
He's the Nick Fury.
Yeah, and also, you know, make sure the tone and make sure pacing and everything fit into his character and make the whole process. So I think that's more based on what he imagined the whole action scene.
And I know you talk a lot about Brad. I'm wondering what his personality was like. What was it like to work with him?
He's a very interesting person, you know. Unfortunately, you know, he's passed away. He's a quiet guy, very quiet. You know, when I know him, we work together in Mr. Nice Guy. Since Mr. Nice Guy, we work together as a brothers. Mm-hmm. And then Tuxedo is the last one I'm with him. And then I left, kind of like do my own thing. And he's followed with Daigo and keep doing with a few more projects. And then he left. And then we'll haven't really seen each other. We both doing the individual thing and I start going to more directing and he start coordinating and he start doing with Matthew Wan with Kingsman and he did Chaos and he did many, many different movies and then he starts directing Second Unit. And then almost 15 years later, I mean, my last project with him is Chinese Zodiac. With the Jackie Chan movie, and I go just assisting him, helping him and do the jargon, you know, the skydiving. And then after that, we haven't really worked together. And this is kind of like the reunion we are together. Unfortunately, you know, I thought we will be from this on. I kind of very interesting, I think. He have his different take on, you know, he's the one is totally different than mine. He's exactly one, the prepping and detail and precise and no change, just that. And that's his style. I can see something is interesting and he's a very cool leader. He not speak a lot, but he's very focused and very dedicated for filmmaking. A lot of research, a lot of reference idea. And yeah, I think he have his own take on and his own style. And he's so, you know, and people can see, you know, what he does, you know, his all movie he did, you know, have a good impact. And in the stunt world as an action director or choreographer, he did have a lot of signature there and he proved it. And this is Shang-Chi. Unfortunately, he don't see the result, but I think this 2 weekend is showing the whole world. And then people know who he is. His great work, it will be stick forever and in the history. So it's sad, you know, he's gone, but it's good, you know. Sometimes when you're in the pit, you know, when you're in the best part and then you lift it and then now it's just legacy. So that's good thing, you know. This is the final movie for him, but this also is a really powerful impact from, you know, the point of view of the martial art movie, action movie, or Asian superhero, you know, he's a Caucasian, but inside him is totally Chinese. You know, he's full on Chinese. He's more Chinese than me, Chinese. He's a Chinese.
I think, he can speak it too, right?
He can speak, he speak better than me.
Wow.
He's Mandarin better than me.
But his Cantonese is probably...
He's like I said, he is a Chinese more than me.
Yeah.
He's a wushu champion, you know, he's great talent, you know, it's, you know, sometimes we're too good, you know, maybe someone jealous him, you know, we know, but that's good. Like finally, like I said, before this last weekend, I still have a little bit, you know, thinking, did we do the right thing? And, you know, now I think we did the right thing and then which our goal, you know, definitely is the goal when the very, very beginning we sit down, we make sure, you know, nobody, you know, I don't want to say the word, nobody F up the Shang-Chi. And then this is the first biggest staging for a martial art movie. And that's what he, you know, told me, you know, say, we cannot mess up and I want you to come help because it's all Chinese, you know, so make sure the culture, the the concept and the style, everything is spot on, you know. So I think this is the whole planning from very beginning. We know we have to make something very unique, special, and make sure not mess up. So after last weekend, making the history, picking all the record, we get all the good review, highest review ever, you know, superhero. I think, yeah, we did the right thing. So I think he should be very proud of himself, and I'm very proud, you know, the power of this journey with him and this movie. So
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, it's more than just an action movie. It's historic. It's about representation. It's, you know, one of the biggest martial arts movies in America. So having him helm that project was definitely a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And I think the history making, you know, so that's kind of a big deal, you know, that's the history making, and as an Asian superhero, you know, Chinese in the martial art. And also, you know, Jackie Chan stunt team, you know, in his mind is always Jackie Chan stunt team forever. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of things for his thing in this project. And then I'm so honored, you know, he called me, you know, he can call other brothers, you know, so he called me and give me this opportunity to work with him. And, you know, we both into it. And even his last project, but I feel we did the right thing for the team. We did the right thing for the Jackie Chan family. So
yeah, I think that's
kind of very cool.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay, let's get you ready to fight.
Wait, what?
Well, multi-platform global operation. Every fight, live stream on the dark web. Thousands of viewers placing bets as we speak. This is going to take your brand to a whole new level.
I think there's been some sort of confusion.
I like your spike face.
They're my gusset.
Usually, you got to fight your way to central ring. But a viral star like you, front of line, baby.
I'm not here to fight anybody. Okay, I'm looking for my sister, Xu Xiaolin. Never heard of her.
We just lost a fighter at the last minute, so you get the next slot. Nice one, Helen.
Is he gonna be fighting in one of these?
Oh, no. These are like low-level fights. You're gonna be fighting up there.
I also wanted to get into a few of the other scenes that you mentioned here, some of the fight sequences. I know one you talked about was the cage fight between brother and sister towards the beginning of this film. Can you talk a little bit about planning that and also maybe trying to differentiate the brother and sister, their fighting styles?
In the story, you know, he left his sister, you know, and then he gone. And then now this is the first time they see each other. And he's surprising, you know, KD or John, right? And they put him on to the stage and then he fight his sister. And the same concept, you know, the funny thing is the same concept is the both scene I did is he don't want to fight. So he don't want to fight.
That's true.
This scene, he don't want to fight his sister. So kind of like very limited, you know, to trying to put the good part he can, you know, like Simo, you know, or the Sam-Chi character, you know, he can be really kick ass. But then this two scene is like, he kind of like try to hiding and he don't want to fight. So he kind of like limited, you know, as the creative side. Same thing, this guy seen a lot of version, much longer. But then end up, you know, we had to, because of screen time and, you know, the schedule. So we cut down a lot. It kind of like we want let the audience know, you know, his sisters can fight. That's why she got an upper hand at the same time, you know, some she don't want to fight. So that kind of like making she more even pop, you know, she can beat him, kick his ass, you know, or a whole idea. So Munger, you know, her skill. I think the scene is really cool right after the scene. And then even for me, you know, after watching it, I remember when she go back to the office and talk to him about you left me, now you think you come back to me, but I don't need you, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think it's very powerful. That's the two sequence after the fight scene and go to the office and say those dialogue and the storytelling. You know, when you leave me that moment, I realize I don't need you anymore. I don't need you then. I don't need you now. Wow. Those powerful lines, and then when I look at a sister, Munger, I think, wow, she is a really good actress. You know, very powerful. That scene make me feel, wow.
I never expect that powerful. And then I think she's great. And then right after that, they jump out to the scaffolder to fight. And she come back and save Katie and helping. What's it? So totally that moment, I see another hero in the movie come out. And that two sequences make her like so outstanding.
Yeah, definitely. And with the whole, you know, post-credit scene thing, definitely glad. It seems like she's going to be a big part of things moving forward as well. So we're going to get some more of her in some action at some point.
Oh, yeah, hopefully.
You know, we hope so, you know. I mean, now she took over the Ten Ring, you know, and, you know, she have two great, you know, left hand, right hand. She have a razor fin. She have John, right? John and John. The Ten Ring thing. She, and also, I think she did the really cool thing at the end, you know, when she, the puzzle I did that for her, you know, do the rope dog. Yeah, she did the right thing with the jargon and looks so fair style, you know. I think that, that ending is very interesting, you know, there's a monster and the jargon.
Yeah, it went off the rails at the end. It got really, really large scale with everything.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I think that is helping, you know, to trap into just the martial art fight scene and, you know, that kind of action and that kind of like move to the Marvel universe, continue world, so bigger, more bigger scale, bigger, more power moment. So I think that make the movie end up now well, look like a fit into the MCU, you know, without, and you maybe would think, oh, this is kind of like, you know, drama, martial art movie. Even that, just put the dragon and the monster, it's just to make the movie, you know, now you believe this is the MCU movie. So yeah. Kind of cool. I kind of like that blend them together to make everything epic, modern day, you know, and then the monster superpower. Now make Shang-Chi belong them. So I think that's very, very good intro for the first time to introduce this superhero. So I think that they did a really, really good job, you know. I think Dustin, the director, making a really right choice. Even they cut down the stuff, you know, I think he did the right thing, you know. Sometimes maybe too much fight is it's just wounded. It's kind of like just enough, and then you appreciate it. So I think the thing after the editing, you know, because we, like I said, those scenes are much, much longer. We have much more. I can remember a lot of stuff they cut it out.
Right.
But look like it worked. You know, maybe they stuck on it and then the movie made too long. Every decision they make, I think they make a right decision. Especially they make the decision to make Shang-Chi.
Yeah, it all works together. All the different, like you said, the martial arts styles, the different elements of just the film itself, the story, the character and everything in the action scenes as well. And I know you mentioned the scaffolding scene before as well. Did you have a hand in that?
No, because when they start, you know, they already have Brad have a punk. That's what we did, you know, martial arts too. Kind of, we already done something already, so kind of like get Punk onto it. It's kind of like trying to have something different, a new take on. If not, then anyway, another scene like Jackie Chan, you know. So we kind of, I think, kind of like that's a plan. Okay, maybe let Punk do it something different. It's cool, you know. Do you like that? It's a cool scene, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, we did.
I have to go back and rewatch it again and again.
Yeah, it's a really cool scene. You know, I think it's so cool if they have really have a fine. The location and have a real building like this and have the Oscar.
Oh, yeah. Michael Bay style.
Then I think that would be more powerful, because I think technology can do it, whatever, but I think sometimes practical is still something that cannot replace that. So it's just like, you know, when I see go back, you know, Rush Hour, we say we do the real building.
It's a real scaffolding, right? Yeah.
And everything you can see. The people react, the climbing is scary. So, because we fall all, you die, you know, so different.
Do you think that the CGI kind of takes you out of it a little bit more than?
It's not that it will take you out. It's just like, I mean, sometimes, you know, first of all, you don't have that location. Like, you don't have that real location, or maybe safety issue, you know, how you, you know, put the camera, you know, sometimes when you have real high, like it's a real building, like, and you maybe only can do certain camera work, you know, maybe the drone or a helicopter shot.
Yeah.
But you don't have that freedom to shoot, you know, what they do, you know, the chasing, you know. I mean, the CG and staging is, it can give the camera have more pacing to do.
when you have a real location, you do that, then you will be very limited. So it kind of have a good side, bad side. You have more interesting angle, but you're possible without the reality. But I don't say they pull out away, but I just thinking, I wish I had more a real feeling, you know, real things, something that would be make the scene more powerful. You know, when she's falling, you will, wow, then you will really think this is super high or something. So they not really allow you to do too many people outside the building like that. It's only Hong Kong you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, in other world possible, oh, there's too much safety, too much guy and too much thing, and you make it impossible to do it for real. But in Hong Kong, you know, when we're, oh, they can do it, just put, you know, 10 guys, just all stunt guys jump up there. go,
risk their lives, yeah.
Yeah. Which is so different. So it's sometimes, you know, like I said, you know, I miss the Hong Kong style, but system has the, you know, system style. It's good, you know, at least, you know, nobody would get killed by that.
Yeah. It looks like you see the pros and cons for both styles, the Western style versus the Hong Kong style. But I feel like you're more leaning towards the Hong Kong way than.
I mean, because I think it's like I said,
it's your roots, right? Yeah.
And also it makes it more unique by who doing that. It's a very unique thing, you know, for me. Another one is it's a lot of prepping and time and shooting, and very hard to make a mistake there because you have so much prepping and preparing.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it feels the one you do it you, without that organic and creatively mindset, you know, like instinctly, I always feel the instinct is so cool to react, you know, so something come to you and you react, and that all natural. When that natural, I feel, you know, for me is, I feel it's real. When you have a prepping and rehearsal and preparing, I feel it's staging. So, but people, maybe not a lot of people can tell, but for me is,
it feels different. Feels different, right?
Because I'm doing this so long, so when I always feel, oh, that's too staging, you know, that's but this is something, because when you over again, even people, they become...
It's like a robot, right?
Yeah, they become very...
robotic, yeah.
Like robotic and performing, like, it's no more organic, like you're watching a boxing fight, you know, you're just waiting for that punch. But that punch, I'm suddenly, boom, knockout. Wow, cool. But then you're doing the movie, you know, the guy already know I'm going to get knocked out. And then you never get that suddenly knockout, that feel. No matter how you are acting, you never get that. All right. So that's why when you're watching the fight, you always want to see that something you never expect. In the movie, you're making that never expect. It's always expect already because they already expect.
Yeah.
That feeling, it just kind of, I think you have got to be a really, 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 really good actor and prepare and preparing, like not preparing. I never meet one person in my life for me, like I believe that. So those lockout is the real one. You very hard to fake it, like, for real.
It was very believable though in those early movies, like you were saying with Mr. Nice Guy and Who Am I. They were very, I feel like the impact of those a lot more too.
Because that moment we don't do previous.
We
go on set and you rehearsal and you do it like you only maybe do a few times, like shoot. So you're still not really ready yet because you just get there. Yeah, so now,
because it looks painful, a lot of the stuff, and it's like you get hit and you see the reaction. It feels very real.
Yeah, because that's a transaction from that. You know, the 1980 is much more stronger, and the 90 early 90 is still there, and then some late 90 to 2000, this transaction to be more different than the early 90 or 80. Those moments of real Hong Kong style, like hardcore, real heat, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Action, and then slowly build up to, not say the fake heat, it's more staging heat and camera heat. And also the safety much better now. Today, they can put pad on the floor, you know, they put stunt pad and something people can fall into the stunt pad. Before, when you fall, boom, you fall into the concrete, you fall into the hard floor, you fall for real. So when you fall, your body react like, you know, when you really fall for, not say too high, as I say 10 feet, I kick you from 10 feet fall into the ground. Your body, when you're falling, your body react like you would kind of be like really like a metal solid. And then now, you know, they put the pad in your body, just relax.
Because you, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. In the falling process.
Yeah. It looks like it hurt because it did hurt, right?
When you
then you're pretending, then you start pretending.
Right, so, right.
Yeah.
So you try to acting. So, but I'm saying the real body reaction, you cannot pretend. Somehow you had to fight. That's why you asked me, oh, I lean on the Hong Kong style because I want that feeling. I want to get that reaction. Mm. Even myself, when I'm watching it, oh, I react like that, then I believe that. But then something, right now I feel I cannot react that because I know. I already know it's not.
Mm.
So that kind of not satisfied in certain point. But you cannot, you know, but sometimes, you know, like I said, the day is moving on, you know, and people, you know, the safety and all the kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to convince the people to do that, go back to that. So then once in a while you have something like that. So my side is leaning on to surprise because
I think
it makes me feel when I'm laughing, I don't pretending, I'm really laughing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. Do you think like Hong Kong cinema is moving more towards that Western style now? Or do you kind of feel like it's staying to its roots? Like it's staying where it was back when you started 1980s, 19, you know?
I think they stay same thing. It's going to go up. So they're not going to be like, we'll never go back to the 90s, early 80s, you know?
People. Yeah.
Kill themselves, but it still have that the root, you know, and they still have that the base, you know. So it's a Hong Kong filmmaker still have that, you know, the Chinese, Asian, you know, they still have that, but not that extreme. So they kind of like blend into something more like safety and more, you know, CG world and production helping or something. But I think it depends on the filmmaker, you know, the director, what they're looking for and go achieve. I think they still have a room for that kind of thing for a lot of audience. I think they were missing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all depend on just like you making a commercial movie or, you know, or culture movie. So depend, you know, actually movie. So we'll have a different marketing, different audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's all depend. But for me, I think they will never die.
Mm.
The song comes out that the hardcore style is always with some movie. Suddenly people will, wow, very enjoy it. Like, you know, John Ray, and they have some hardcore, the Ray and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Yung Gong or, you know, those papa, whatever, they always will have an audience. It depends how far they can go and they will never die. The only thing is that can they become another fashion and favor and everything lean into that? I doubt it. The new generation, I don't think they have that kind of blood.
So I see.
We still have the transaction that we'll stay here. So I'm still working on trying to keep it alive.
Yeah.
But you can see, you know, they're going to fade out slowly, slowly.
Mm.
You know, eventually it become a very special connection. Kind of like, you know, nobody using film camera anymore. It's all digital.
Oh, no.
So fade out eventually, you know, as a big HD camera, you know, everything, you know, digital.
Mm.
I think Hong Kong action, the hardcore action going to be fade out eventually. And then some people will still go back, okay, I'll do an Axie, I want to do one classic, go back to that and find something. But then the problem is they don't have that much talent. They don't have that much of choice anymore because...
Mm-hmm.
Just like right now, you go to find a film. I want to be find a little frame camera and find a frame. I want a different stock, you know, different. I don't know how.
Can't find it. Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually the stunt will go that way too.
I see.
We got time before that. We got time.
Yeah. We'll still take advantage of the little bit of time that we have.
Yeah. I know, but then sometimes, you know, the combine is good. Like Shang-Chi.
True.
Right?
That's true. Mm.
Shang-Chi is the combining, right? It's kind of like you can see it. You cannot say this is a Hong Kong, a Hollywood style, but you cannot say this is a Hong Kong style.
It's a combined style.
A combined style and making success. So mean
they have the room for that. So if this one is the example, if this one is the people look up to, maybe we'll have more like this, and based on the success, maybe we'll have more, they will open up more. Okay, let's get something like that again. Kind of like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, Matrix or Rush Hour. First time come up with the Hong Kong getting to that way. And then the one point, wow, a lot of Hollywood movie of Jet Li, have all kind of Romeo Must Die, and you know, all Brandon into the run, and then they have martial art and Hong Kong style into it. And then now suddenly 20 years later, and then the one Shang-Chi maybe now have another wave and have
all kinds more of more those styles coming back.
Yes, and then to another.
People seem to like that Hong Kong style of filming, though. And I think it's not really that people aren't liking it anymore. It's more that the, I guess, Hollywood is kind of changing into those, I guess, different areas of fight choreography. And then now it's coming back, right? So it's kind of Hollywood that's dictating that sort of rise and fall, like you were saying.
Yeah, I think just like, you know, the light wave, you know, it's always come up and down, you know, they're always... It's kind of changing. So 10 year high, 10 year low, 10 year high, 10 year. So it's always like this. So I think this maybe the moment now we hit the bottom, now it start rise up. So maybe we'll have another 10 year good run for that. So, and then we come up with another Matrix, another Rush Hour, another Romeo Must Die. You know, that, you know, that was something we maybe hopefully have a little bit. Go in that direction, get some more Asian flavor, and then Hong Kong style, Chinese style,
yeah,
Korea style. So.
That's true. With the reboots and everything, maybe it'll happen. Recycle back in, and then maybe we can ride that momentum up. There's a lot of young, new talent too. You know, especially like your action design team, just in general, all of them. You know, have great talent, and they'll bring it back for sure.
Lots of new voices. And Darren, did you have any other Shang-Chi specific questions before we move on to the last segment here?
I think I'm good. Yeah, we could move on.
Okay, so this is the last part of the show. This is something we call the 5-second fight club. So we're going to give you some fights, some matchups, and then you have 5 seconds to tell us who you think would win and why they would win.
Okay, we'll try.
Yeah. So first one, we have Shang-Chi versus Sunny from Into the Badlands.
Wow, that's interesting. I will give them tie.
Oh, okay.
okay.
Yeah, because they both have a great weapon, and Sunny has some superpower. People don't see it yet. So ideally, he have the superpower too. So he's like invincible. He cannot die. So
wow.
So Shang-Chi cannot beat him. So they can be equal. But then, Shang-Chi has his superpower. So I think they could be equal.
Okay. Wow. I think that's the first ever tie.
That's the first time, man. That's so cool. All right. Next up, we have Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker versus Sammo Hung and Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, I know that martial law.
Martial law. Yeah, yeah.
I did both. You know, I did martial law.
Yeah, yeah.
I work for Sammo. If that, then I for sure Jackie Chan and...
Oh, man. Yeah.
There's no fight. They have a real chemistry, and I see them both, you know, from the very beginning. Also, I did the martial law with Arsenio too. But I can see the organic and then the chemistry with Chris and Jackie. Very, very, very good. So I think another one, don't give them a credit for Sammo and Arsenio. But, you know, same thing, you can feel it. People will already feel kind of like a copy style from the Rush Hour trying to make into the TV. Unfortunately, you cannot give them a credit because it always give to the original.
Yeah, for sure. The original. Both good. Next matchup, we have the Scorpion King versus Beck from The Rundown, both played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Wow, then same thing. They got to be Beck, you know, got to be... You know, The Rundown.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I mean, first of all, both, you know, even for reality, when Scorpion King, The Rock is the first movie, so he kind of win. And then and the second one, of course, better than the first one because he have experience. That's why he would Scorpion.
The experience coming back.
That's true. All right. The next one is more of like which is better, not really a fight, but which is better, The Hill in Police Story or The Hill in The Rundown?
Wow. That is a tough question. I think I give to The Police Story Hill because without The Police Story, we would never have The Rundown Hill.
Okay. Give it to the original.
The Police Story make me to go into the movie. Then I go to The Rundown. So without The Police Story, we'll never have The Rundown Hill scene.
All right. So this is the last one we have here. Okay. Sammo Hung versus Andy Chang in a fat suit.
Wow. Even without a fat suit, Sammo Hung would beat me.
Oh, wow.
But now even I wear this fat suit with slow down me. Even I don't have the fat suit, I don't even fast than him.
Yeah.
Move really, really fast. Oh my god.
He's fast.
In one experience where I would say this, it's not I'm just trying to make it up. I did the fight scene with him in Martial Law. I pay a little bad guy to against him.
Right?
And then I fight with double saw and he fight with double tennis bat or something.
Yeah.
Oh my god. All the quarry I do, I like two beats behind.
So oh,
I
was, really?
They're already gone. I just chase him. I cannot even walk. He's so fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you had to double him, right? In a fat suit at one point?
Yeah, in the fat suit.
Yeah, I double him at this time. You know, sometimes I do that guy, I double that guy, sometimes with him. But then, yeah, I would do fat suit with him. But that's when not double him. That one I against him, I pay.
Okay.
He's amazing. You know?
Was that your weirdest experience doubling someone, having to wear like the whole fat suit?
No, I double girl, I double everywhere I wake up.
Yeah.
Wear high heel, wear a fat suit is only him. And it's from the very beginning, you know, original, when we do the pilot, I only is a choreographer, you know, assistant choreographer. Mm-hmm. And then when we finish the pilot, we got picked up before we finished the pilot. They say, oh, okay, now we do 22 episodes. That moment, we're not really satisfied about who's doubling Sammo. And then that moment, suddenly the director, Stanley Tong, say, hey, Andy, why are you doubling him? I say, oh. And then he say, yeah, you wear a fast suit, you can double him. But ideally, it tells you the most funny story. Ideally, Stanley Tong borrowed me from Jackie when we're doing Shanghai Noon, and then he borrowed me and said, hey, I just go to do the pilot, only borrow him for 1 month. And then after that, we pick up and I told you he borrowed me the whole year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a whole thing.
They love you too much. That's what happened.
Yeah. I supposed to go there like just for the pilot and then end up I do the whole season and doubling him. But then after that, then we start shooting Shanghai Noon. And so I do it to November, but then August, they start second season. But then I have to finish the final scene for Sanha Lun.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot go back on time. That's why I haven't do the second season. I only do the first season.
Mm.
The second season, somebody else. But then, so after, I thought I would go back for third season, but then they cancel.
Very sad.
Maybe the lucky charm's not there.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. Well, that's our show. I think that's a wrap. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
You know? Thank you so much for being on the show and talking with us for such a long time.
Yeah. Thank you for staying.
No, thank you. You know, I think that's very cool. You know, yeah. Thank you for this opportunity, you know, telling some story. And I think this is celebration, you know.
Oh. Yeah.
For Shang-Chi and success, and hopefully more people remember Ray Allen, you know, his legacy and forever, you know, Jackie Chan forever.
Yeah, it's great.
If you liked that, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/actionfilmmaking and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Stay up to date on the show by visiting our website, actiondecoded.com, and by following us on Instagram @ActionFilmmakingPodcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.